make the most of your life. When you remove the blocks that are holding you back, you can bring inspiration, passion, and purpose to yourself and those around you. This is the Hoffman Connection with your hosts, Raz Ingrassi and Ed McClune. Our hosts and their guests will give you the tools that you need to improve yourself by bringing you closer to what really matters. Now, here's your host.
Hello, this is Raz Ingrassi. Welcome to the Hoffman Connection. We're coming to you live from beautiful and gorgeous Northern California near San Francisco Bay. And I am a Hoffman Institute teacher and founder of the Hoffman Institute Foundation. If you've never heard of the Hoffman Institute, we're celebrating this year 45 years as a leading personal development program worldwide. We have 16 sites in 11 countries, helped over 85,000 people worldwide with our amazing 8-day retreat of personal development and discovery. My co-host is Hoffman teacher and therapist Ed McClune, but he's not with us this week, so I'm going solo. And the purpose of the Hoffman Connection, of course, this radio show, is to bring inspiration, education, tools for you to help you connect to the life you love and to open the universe up. And we offer the Hoffman process about every 2 weeks in the United States, and it's a nonprofit organization that supports you for the rest of your life. So I want to introduce our guest to you. He's my second cousin, Rick Ingrassi. And Rick is the director of the Whidbey Geodome Project up in Whidbey, Washington, on Whidbey Island, I should say, near Seattle. And the Whidbey Geodome Project utilizes immersive learning environments, a kind of a multimedia geodesic dome, to expanding worldviews and transforming the way we learn. And they've got a completely new approach to visual storytelling. Rick is a social entrepreneur. He's a psychiatrist, but he's also a community development guy and a multimedia. He's fascinated with multimedia as long as I've known him. And he is a co-author of a best-selling book, Chop Wood, Carry Water, A Guide to Spiritual Fulfillment in Everyday Life. And Rick, some years back, was a co-founder of Interface, which was Boston's largest holistic education center. And he was the president of the American Holistic Medical Association, co-founder of Physicians for Social Responsibility. Rick, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Raz. It's nice to be with you.
Rick, tell us, what is a geodome?
Good question. A geodome is an inflatable dome that has a screen suspended on the inside so that it can be used as an immersive multimedia environment. We like to call it an immersive learning environment because the stories that can be told inside a space like this can be of any type or any length. And we're kind of very interested in that worldview expansion that you mentioned.
Well, I remember very vividly my experiences in the Geodome as you were beginning to develop it 4 years ago and more recently this spring. And what astounded me was that, just first off, to learn that all the photographs, all the NASA photographs of outer space, all the everything, that every photograph that we've taken as we penetrate into space, whether with manned or unmanned spacecraft, plus all the Russian photographs of space, have all been declassified. And that you're able to, with the use of computer-supported technology, display the actual universe, I mean, photographs of the universe, and sort of zoom us through it. And tell us a little bit about why it's important to be able to do that. I mean, it's an amazing ride. I remember being in your geodome and experiencing taking off from Earth and just zooming right in, landing on the moon and looking back at the Earth and going into other places in the universe, and it itself was thrilling, like a, you know, an incredible ride. But what is the story associated with it? What is it you're trying to have people discover when they're there?
Well, first of all, the experience or the story that you experienced is a show, a half-hour show that we put together for the 50th anniversary celebration of the Seattle World's Fair. And so we created a show called The Earth Portal, a guided tour of the universe and our place in it. And the software that you're describing that allows us to take the NASA Digital Atlas of the Universe, which is about $10 billion worth of research and images, and using a gaming engine, kind of like a video game or a flight simulator, we're able to essentially fly anywhere in the known universe, the observable universe. But, of course, the technology is one thing, and the quality of the storytelling is really the more important thing. We decided to create a story that a 5-year-old or a 95-year-old could enjoy and find, you know, an awe-inspiring and uplifting experience. And so we essentially, in 2 months, were able, with a group of artists and visualizers, were able to put together just an amazing epiphany for people called the Earth Portal that starts off at the surface of the planet, as you pointed out, and then takes you all the way back in space and time to the Big Bang, 13.7 billion years ago. The way we phrase it is 30 billion light years in 30 minutes.
Pretty fast ride. And so people experience being out in outer space, and inside this just geodesic dome that takes them there. And you know, most of us have never had that experience. A few of us have, astronauts. But what is the meaning of it? I mean, it's exhilarating, but tell us what's the takeaway?
Okay, well, just a little bit of context or history, and I think it will be clear what the intention or the motivation is behind this project. First of all, my inspiration to do this work began 40 years ago at the Harvard School of Public Health. I was looking into the issue of how do you help people to shift their consciousness and shift their worldview in such a way that they experience their body and their mind and their spiritual life as an integrated whole, as a part of the rest of the ecosystem and the rest of the universe. So back then is when I first realized, well, we have communication technology that allows us to tell visual stories, and between the audio and the visual, we're able to, you know, shift people's understanding of who they are and the meaning of the particular story. So fast forward 40 years, let me tell you, the technology, the digital visualization technology, has come a long way, and this inflatable dome, which, by the way, is only 25 feet in diameter, so we can put this thing up and down in 20 minutes, you know, anywhere where there's enough space, 25 feet in diameter, 13 feet high, which is what we do, move it around. Our idea was to create a story that gives people an awe-inspiring sense of connection to the universe as a whole, to the galaxies, to the solar system, to the planet. And that, I must say, if you really dig down to what's motivating us here, we see ourselves as environmentalists and activists who are trying to wake people up to the realities of the ecological crises that we're facing, and the other types of social and economic crises that humans are embroiled in at the moment, and to see this shift in consciousness as a first major step in getting people to take on these issues seriously and to change individual and collective behavior. That's really what this is about.
So you're looking to provide a different field from which action arises.
Correct.
By giving people an experience of a direct experience of the universe itself.
Yeah,
and that universe. What is the nature of that universe? When we have that experience, when we feel ourselves connected to infinite space.
Yeah, it's.
How does that inform us? What's different about that? I mean, I don't want to put my words on it. I'd like to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, and the thing I want to point out here, Raz, is that we are taking the science that's available to us today and the observations that are available to us today, what we call the observable known universe, and essentially saying to people that this is a story, this is a model that's based on our best science of how the universe is put together. And the way I like to put it is that, we're taking the world's data, the information and the mathematical knowledge and scientific knowledge that we have, and creating or looking at and recognizing what the patterns in nature are. And then from that pattern recognition, we're telling each other mythological stories and scientific stories and stories of all kinds. And that's the meaning-making piece of this. What we're doing is trying to invite people to understand that we're making this up. That humans as a species on a planet are observing from this particular vantage point or viewpoint a particular universe. The qualities of the universe, I won't get into the nitty-gritty of it, but I think all of us have heard of the Big Bang, so we know that there's this notion that there's an energetic phenomena that was as small as a pinhead 13.7 billion years ago that rapidly expanded into the stars and the galaxies and in solar systems. The expanse of this is so vast. One of the factoids in the story we tell in the Geodome is that there are more galaxies in the universe than 10 times the number of grains of sand on the entire planet.
And it's still expanding at the outer edges.
Well, and then, of course, we allude to the dark energy and dark matter, this mysterious force and this mysterious type of matter. The dark energy is seemingly pulling all the galaxies and all the stars at an accelerating rate away from each other. So the universe, and not only that, it's accelerating. So it's doing it faster and faster. It is, what I'm describing to you right now is mind-boggling. It's hard to get your head around it. As a matter of fact, I'd say it's impossible. So what's coming out of our experience since we started this show in mid-April is that people of all ages and all educational levels are finding this story to be awe-inspiring, and that piques their curiosity about the kinds of issues and the kinds of knowledge that we think is so important to embrace at this point.
That's fantastic. We're going to take a short break, Rick, and then we're going to come back, and I want to ask you some more questions about the way you're able to portray this in three-dimensional space and give people the direct experience of being in outer space and how real it is for those of us who've experienced it and that this experience finally is really available to people everywhere. You can fly one of these domes in and tell the story. So we're going to be back in just a few minutes. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in 2 minutes with Rick and Grassi.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are your unconscious patterns holding you back from a life you truly love? For 45 years, the Hoffman Process has helped people reclaim their ability to find love, forgiveness, and their true purpose in life. According to a University of California Davis study, Hoffman Process participants significantly increased their joy, satisfaction, and emotional intelligence on a sustained and lasting basis. For more information, visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change, visit HoffmanInstitute.org. Are you looking for more joy, satisfaction, and love in your life? The Hoffman Process can give you the foundation and tools you need to create your ideal future. Celebrating 45 years as the premier personal growth program, the Hoffman Process has helped over 80,000 people worldwide discover answers and guidance to help them find their best life ever. Visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org for more information. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Again, visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to The Hoffman Connection. To reach Raz and Grossi, Ed McClune, or this week's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to radio@hoffmaninstitute.org. Now, back to our program.
We're back to you now with Rick and Grossi, and he is describing the experience of his project called the Whidbey Geodome Project. This is an educational organization that utilizes an absolutely new and radical form of education, immersive learning environments, and to tell stories, and to tell stories of the universe story. And one of the things that struck me when I experienced the Geodome, it's sort of like the difference between seeing a photograph of your best, painting, a portrait of your best friend's face, and an actual photograph. And we are, when you go into the Geodome, you enter into outer space, seeing things in a three-dimensional way, exactly as they look, because they are real NASA photographs of outer space. And the dome allows us to almost holistically and holographically enter into it and be in outer space. And the experience of outer space is so vast. And I don't even know how to communicate what happened to me being in there. Rick, what do you think? How would you describe what's happening? You're a psychiatrist. Tell us what's going on.
Well, you know, there's a saying, a picture is worth a thousand words. And in this case, it really is almost impossible to communicate the experience without having the experience. However, that said, most people have heard of what the astronauts, almost to a person, anybody who's been up in space to the space station or to the moon, you know, the astronauts who have left the planet, they look back and they see the Earth as a whole, and it's called the Earthrise image, and everyone has seen that now since 1968 when it was first photographed by the Apollo astronauts. So that's called the overview effect. The experience is that you see the Earth as a whole, you notice that there are no boundaries between nation states, et cetera, et cetera, and the fragility and the beauty of this blue-green marble usually brings people to tears. I mean, it's just, you know, an epiphany. It's awe-inspiring. And, you know, that's just looking back at the Earth, our planet, our precious life here on Earth. Humans have developed tools like the Hubble telescope and 3,000 satellites circling the planet, measuring and picture, photographing every dimension and aspect of the biosphere. And, of course, the Cassini and the Voyager rockets that have gone off into the solar system. And, the one Voyager is about to leave the solar system. The first human object to actually leave the solar system is beginning. It's probably going to happen this year. Take the Hubble telescope, for instance. I mean, when the Hubble takes a picture of the surface of Mars, I mean, you could almost count the grains of sand on Mars. The Hubble takes these images of galaxies that are 10 billion light years away. I mean, it's just, like I say, kind of mind-boggling to talk about these things. But if you can imagine someone sitting in a dome, a 25-foot in diameter dome, with a joystick hooked into a laptop computer, and that computer has this planetarium software on it called UniView that contains the digital atlas of the universe And with that joystick, you are essentially able to fly anywhere in the known universe. And what you're looking at, I mean, there are parts of it that are, for instance, when you get back to the Big Bang and the large-scale structure of the universe, it looks like a butterfly because the Milky Way galaxy is blocking our view on two sides, so there's a zone of avoidance, they call it. But essentially, you're in this immersive environment, and I mean, I've heard children sitting on their parents' lap in the dome say, like, "Mommy, are we moving?" Because the experience is that you are moving through space and time. We take you on a voyage that, if you were really moving at that rate, it would be faster than the speed of light. It would be 1,000 times the speed of light, which is impossible.
What I'm sensing right now, I'm trying to make an analogy, but of course there was a time when everyone thought the Earth was flat, and by our own direct personal observations, it is flat. And yet we all know now that we've known for centuries that the Earth is round. But so what changed when we learned that the Earth is round compared to that it was flat? Well, could say nothing. But on the other hand, it's like everything. We get it. We get what this – we get the system. We get the whole thing at once. And similarly, going into outer space and looking back at the planet allows us to see this blue-green globe in the context of outer space, and we know this is the only living planet, only life available, the only place where we are integrated and at one with the biosphere for, I don't know, millions, hundreds of millions of light years, and that this is it. This is where we are at. We all know that we're living in a critical moment of human and planetary history where the future of life on Earth itself is going to be determined by the way we respond to this environmental issues we're facing, whether it's deforestation, climate change, mass species extinctions, and
it's a long list.
Long list. And so somehow being able to see ourselves from outer space looking at the Earth can change our worldview. What are you able to do by looking at the Earth? I mean, the Earth itself, we have lots of data on what's going on with the Earth. Are you able to display that?
Oh, yes. That's one of the great powers of having access to NASA and NOAA data sets. So that, I mean, as an educational tool, imagine that inside the dome, what's being projected is the Earth as a whole, and we are able to, for instance, in a few seconds, we can bring up all the fires that are occurring on planet Earth today. And when I say bring it up, I mean the satellites that are actually looking at the Earth and recording these fires are, you know, on the NASA computers, and we go onto the internet and download live images of the fires or the earthquakes or photosynthesis on the planet. You can all of these data sets and there are thousands of them are available in real time.
So instead of calling it a data set, tell us what you're gonna what I would see if I could I was there. I could see, for one thing, all the fires that are happening on the planet at once.
That's right.
So instead of calling that a data set, tell us what I'd see. What would I see? Would I be able to see, that big plastic blob that's somewhere out in the Pacific Ocean?
Well, you mean the plastic gyre? It turns out that most of that plastic is not visible from space because it's broken down into micro plastic, little balls. But with the fires, for instance, what you see are the correct size and place of every fire. Like, for instance, if you're flying over South America, you know, the farmers tend to burn parts of the forest in order to clear the land. What you would see the exact pattern of those fires over the Amazon. Or, for instance, last night in the dome, we were showing the drought in the United States that occurred this this summer. You know, and I'm, you know, I happen to think it's related to climate change and global warming, but whatever. It's amazing to see the decrease in photosynthesis. So you see less green in the Midwest of the United States, and you can also overlay the pattern of the drought. In other words, if you're looking at rainfall per square inch per day, et cetera. So when I say data set, all I mean is you can either see a visual image of the actual you know, place on the planet down to the size of a license plate. I mean, these satellites have very powerful lenses on them. Or you can see a computer-generated you know, image that is representing that that particular phenomenon. I wish I wish it were possible to convey in words what one picture is worth more than a thousand words when it comes to appreciating how well, first of all, how unique this is, that for our species at this moment in time to have this kind of feedback for the first time in human history. We have real-time feedback on who we are, where we are, and what we're doing to the planet. And what I'm hoping is that with that kind of feedback and knowledge, as well as the emotional connection you experience to life as a whole, that that does lead to people to collectively change behavior. Because we're heading in the wrong direction. I think we all know that. It's a matter of when we change and how we change. I always tell people Mother Nature bats last. You know, the change is coming to us, so we're either going to adapt or we're going to suffer, you know, well, all kinds of eco-catastrophes, which are avoidable if we change our way of living.
But you're able to, inside the dome, project the distribution of human beings on Earth. You're able to show pollution. You're able to show, let's say, the last 100 years of deforestation. I was stunned to see that, for example, all the argument in the Pacific Northwest about old growth redwoods, everyone's arguing about the last 5%. The other 95% has already been deforested, and we're talking about second and third growth trees all over the United States. There's very little virgin timber left on the planet, and you start looking at the last 100 years of pollution on the planet. You're able to project those things onto the Earth with the experience of being in outer space, looking at it with, you know, rapid photography, if you will, to see it right move right before your eyes. So you're really doing some amazing things, and it gives people a grasp. Rather than reading information about it, you can see it with your eyes, and it kind of, you feel it.
Yeah. That, like I say, the overview effect of being out there looking back is very powerful. And for most of us, we are not going to become astronauts and fly to outer space and look back at the Earth. We have the great privilege of, you know, the telescopes that are out there and the satellites that are out there looking back, allowing us to have, you know, a simulation of what it would be like. And because the images are real, it really has an impact.
I saw a quote that you use from astrophysicist Adam Frank in his book, The Constant Fire, and it says this: the world gives us data. We look for patterns. Then we find a reason for the pattern, and that reason becomes a story. The stories cascade upward and are fit into bigger and broader narratives of our deepest, most compelling questions, like, what are we doing here? We'll be back in about 2 minutes with Rick and Grassi to give us some insight on what we're doing here. And, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
News, opinion,
hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you looking for more joy, satisfaction, and love in your life?
The Hoffman Process can give you the foundation and tools you need to create your ideal future. Celebrating 45 years as the premier personal growth program, the Hoffman Process has helped over 80,000 people worldwide discover answers and guidance to help them find their best life ever. Visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org for more information. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Again, visit HoffmanInstitute.org. Are your unconscious patterns holding you back from a life you truly love? For 45 years, the Hoffman Process has helped people reclaim their ability to find love, forgiveness, and their true purpose in life. According to a University of California Davis study, Hoffman Process participants significantly increased their joy, satisfaction, and emotional intelligence on a sustained and lasting basis. For more information, visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to The Hoffman Connection. To reach Raz and Grossi, Ed McClune, or this week's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to radio at HoffmanInstitute.org. Now, back to our program.
Today we're talking with Rick and Grossi. Rick is the director of the Whidbey Geodome Project. And the Whidbey Geodome Project is allowing human beings to actually experience going into outer space. The Geodome gives us the capacity to look back at Earth and look out into space from every perspective. I remember my first trip in the, I'll call it a trip, into outer space in the Geodome. We took off from Seattle and landed in the Sea of Tranquility up there on the moon and had the experience of looking back at Earth just the way the astronauts did. And it's all photographically perfect and three-dimensional experience. And so the only thing is it was a lot faster than the actual guys who did it. But I want to invite our listening audience to call us on the air with your questions. Our number is 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. And when you call in, you can ask a question of Rick. Rick,
yeah.
what are you learning yourself from doing this? From doing this project, how is it evolving for you?
Well, there are multiple levels of learning and experience for me. I mean, I first of all, I've had this passion to do this kind of exploration for 40 years. So, finding the technology and the colleagues and the artists to work with to create this kind of unique experience is just it's a lot of fun. It's exciting. It's stressful in its own way because we're on the cutting edge of the use of this kind of technology as a storytelling medium, and you know, it's just it's where I like to live. Let's put it that way. So this is a really valuable and enjoyable experience on that level, because we want our science to be reflective of the latest knowledge that humans possess. I'm also, once again, a student of cosmology, astronomy, astrophysics, earth sciences, reviewing the latest discoveries in biology, all the sciences, basically.
And it all comes together.
Yeah. It's one thing we haven't talked about in terms of the other purpose of this work. You know, we've talked about the change in consciousness and the worldview expansion piece, but we're moving into the next phase once we complete our exhibit at the Seattle Center, the World's Fair exhibit. We're going to be doing science education, bringing the dome to K through 12 schools around the state of Washington as we help the state develop what they're calling next generation science standards, which is more of an interdisciplinary and holistic way of teaching science to both children and adults. And so for me, this is, it really is like going to school every day. There isn't a day that goes by that I'm not immersed in new information and trying to figure out how to tell these stories visually, you know, in this geodome space.
Well, a lot of us have had these, I'll call them spiritual experiences, where we know ourselves to be connected to everything that is, to sometimes called a non-dual experience, or feeling yourself to be at one with all of existence.
Yep.
And with yourself and with other people, where it all, everything just fits and makes sense. And those, you know, enlightenment experiences, spiritual experiences are, you know, I think often happen for people in the Hoffman process itself. But that is something like what you're aiming toward here by being inside the geodome.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I always say there are many paths to the top of the mountain, and we like to think of this as an epiphany device, you know, something that actually does create an altered state and evokes this wonder and awe toward all life and this kind of unitive consciousness that you're talking about, the non-dual experience. I mean, humans, I really believe this, that, you know, we are a part of the universe and we have the capacity to experience directly ourselves as being a part of the whole. I mean, this is what they call a mystical experience in the texts. So you might think of the geodome as having the potential to catalyze that kind of experience for everyone.
And also to validate it, because it's like when you get out into, you know, 13.5 billion years of outer space and you're traveling along and you're seeing it, it gets pretty real that not only can that experience be catalyzed, but if you've had them in the past, that was an accurate experience.
Yeah, it is. It's life affirming is the way I put it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And there's a wonderful little video on Vimeo, or I think it's called The Biological Advantage of Being Awestruck. And it turns out, and you know about this in the Hoffman process, because as you, you know, help people to have these experiences, they get healthier, happier, and become more creative human beings. Well, I guess that's the goal we have as well with the geodome experiences. We want people to experience awe and to become more empathetic and compassionate and healthy and happy human beings as a result of experiencing this kind of interconnectedness.
Tell me again. I missed just that. I want to hear you say it again. The experience of awe produces what in human beings?
Oh, this is a 3-minute video called The Biological Advantage of Being Awestruck.
You find it on YouTube or what?
It's on Vimeo, which is it's like YouTube, V-I-M-E-O. You know, anybody who the fellow who does the performance of this story is named Jason Silva. So that's how you can S-I-L-V-A. It's really worth a look. 3 minutes.
The biological advantage of being awestruck. So it really changes our biology to be awestruck, and you're producing awesome experiences of being awestruck.
Exactly.
Now tell us, Rick, you're coming down to the Bay Area. You've been up at the Seattle World's Fair since April, and you're coming down to the Bay Area, is it next month, right?
That's right. We're coming to the Bioneers Conference in Marin in San Rafael, which is held on October 19th through the 21st. And, that, you know, that's the information for that is on their website, bioneers.org. And then the day after Bioneers, we'll be up at the Institute of Noetic Sciences Earthrise Retreat Center in Petaluma. And we're going to do an evening program for those in the Bay Area who might want to have the experience of the geodome. That would be the best option. It's a one evening, 6 to 9 p.m. on Monday, October 22nd at the Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Yeah, so the Institute of Noetic Sciences is just off of Highway 101
in Petaluma.
In Petaluma, and if you've never been to the Institute of Noetic Sciences, that's worth the price of admission just going up there, and then being able to see the bio I call it the biodome, the geodome. You're calling it the Earth Portal exhibit, right? That's the name
of
your exhibit.
That was the name of the exhibit we did for the Seattle World's Fair. We called it the Earth Portal, a guided tour of the universe and our place in it.
Okay. Now, can you tell us about the future of these kinds of things? I mean, what's amazing about your geodome is how portable it is, and you can bring it here and there, and you put it up in a high school gymnasium, I suppose. You could put it up almost anywhere. And so people are going to gain increasing access to this kind of an educational experience, and it's really, in a way, a transformative environmental experience.
Yes, it's. I mean, these are called, the generic term is full dome learning environments. So if you think of the planetarium at Cal Academy, for instance, there in San Francisco, they use the same software, UniView software, for the planetarium shows as we use for the geodome shows. It's called UniView, and it contains this digital atlas of the universe. There are domes that can hold 100 people, domes that can hold 500 people. There are planetariums, you know, that do the same. So anywhere, you're absolutely right, this is going to become more common, access to full dome experiential learning. And I think it's a very good thing. I think humans have tremendous visual, you know, capacity. We do a lot of rapid learning through the right brain, through the visual cortex. And, you know, I see this as catalyzing and accelerating learning the life lessons we need to learn. Let's put it that way.
So this is, I think once we see that we're all connected, I remember reading an astronaut saying that, you know, he looked down and he saw that there were no national boundaries and
right.
that we are all from the same, we're all brothers and sisters. In other words, that even I think I remember hearing someone say he realized that from outer space that everyone on Earth is an indigenous person. We think of the, you know, people who are Indians or something being indigenous, but he said because everyone's indigenous to Earth. We need to learn to live like indigenous people and learn to live like this thing has to be sustained forever.
Yeah, I think that's a nice way of putting it. You know, the indigenous cultures on the planet have a respect for the earth and a respect for life that, you know, somehow Western scientific technological consciousness has created what I call an attachment disorder with nature. We've broken the bond with life in such a way that, you know,
yeah,
not healthy.
Yeah, well, we know enough about attachment disorders, psychological attachment disorders, when people are not attached properly to their mother,
right.
That they act out in strange ways. And you're really pointing out that we have an attachment disorder as a species, at least in the Western paradigm, with the planet itself.
Yep. And, you know, the Hoffman process and all these other humanistic approaches to development are designed to heal that wound, I think, you know, to return to a kind of wholeness that, couldn't be more timely in terms of
yeah,
what the
I mean,
world is.
You know, the research on Hoffman showed, well, of course, that University of California research showed that that there was more and more lasting change for people through doing Hoffman than has ever been measured, and that is, say, reduction in negative affect of anxiety and depression and increases in emotional intelligence and spirituality. But when they looked to see what was causing it, what they saw was that people had spiritual experiences that always preceded in Hoffman, that the spiritual experiences predicted and preceded the drops in negative affect and the increases in positive affect. So I think we can rest assured that this is the way it works.
Yeah, and you're describing the Hoffman version of a biological advantage of being awestruck.
Okay. We're learning more about what we're learning. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes for the final segment here with Rick and Grassi talking about the Whidbey Geodome Project.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are your unconscious patterns holding you back from a life you truly love? For 45 years, the Hoffman Process has helped people reclaim their ability to find love, forgiveness, and their true purpose in life. According to a University of California Davis study, Hoffman Process participants significantly increased their joy, satisfaction, and emotional intelligence on a sustained and lasting basis. For more information, visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Visit HoffmanInstitute.org. Are you looking for more joy, satisfaction, and love in your life? The Hoffman Process can give you the foundation and tools you need to create your ideal future. Celebrating 45 years as the premier personal growth program, the Hoffman Process has helped over 80,000 people worldwide discover answers and guidance to help them find their best life ever. Visit us at HoffmanInstitute.org for more information. The Hoffman Process, when you're serious about change. Again, visit HoffmanInstitute.org.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to The Hoffman Connection. To reach Raz and Grossi, Ed McClune, or this week's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to radio@HoffmanInstitute.org. Now, back to our program.
Hello, this is Raz and Grossi with the Hoffman Institute. Speaking with Rick Ingrassi, my second cousin, about the Whidbey Geodome Project. And before we go back to Rick, I just want to invite our guests to call if you have a question. 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. I also want to remind our listeners that every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, there is a free introductory conversation, really, with the CEO of the Hoffman Institute and with teachers about the Hoffman Process. So if that's something you want to know more about and you're interested, just click onto go to the HoffmanInstitute.org website, HoffmanInstitute.org, and it'll tell you how to call in and be a part of that introductory seminar that'll occur right after we close here. So, Rick, we're back to you, and where are we going, and what is the future of science education? I ask because it seems like we have more data, more knowledge now than ever before in human history. It seems to be growing at an exponential rate, and there's a certain sense of hopelessness about ever being able to absorb it. And so how do we make sense of what's going on?
Well, this is the task at hand in our evolutionary moment. You know, if you can't process all the data, you know, kind of linearly with your left brain, then shifting your consciousness to pattern recognition, which is really what the geodome does best, is the way to, you know, to lower the stress level and also make sense or make meaning out of the life we live at this point in human history. That's why the Whidbey Geodome Project, after we move out of the Seattle World's Fair, we're essentially going to work within the state of Washington to develop pilot programs, science education curricula that are designed to help, obviously K through 12 is where you start. We want to work with young people and use these kinds of geodome experiences in combination with social and emotional learning and arts-based learning and, you know, the kinds of things that ultimately allow children to develop the capacity to self-direct their own lives and become self-directed learners and self-paced learners, to break out of the cookie-cutter factory-style school systems we have. I think I can safely say we know this isn't working. You know, the dropout rates, the literacy rates, the STEM, you know, science, technology, and engineering, and mathematics scores of American students compared with we're 23rd in the world now in terms of science, technology, engineering, and math. And, you know, that's a sad commentary for the wealthiest nation in the history of the world. So I'm actively engaged now in seeking the funding and the school systems that are going to give us the green light to do some pilot programs with this new approach to science education.
So this is immersive learning, and I can just imagine, having been inside the Geodome, what it would be like. I can only imagine to start first grade by flying to the moon and then beyond, and taking a firsthand tour of the universe. I remember the first time I went in the Geodome 4 years ago, when it was just you were just beginning to work on this, but it was still a very powerful experience. And there was about a 5 or 6 year old kid, and he came out and said to his parents, "I've just been in outer space," and you know, it was very real for him. And I can only imagine that having that experiential grasp of the universe just changes a person's life from the get-go. And I like to say that there are lots of things that you can read about. You can read about love, but it doesn't compare to the experience of falling in love. And even something like riding a bicycle, imagine trying to read a book on riding a bicycle as compared to actually riding the bicycle. And so there's a way that we are connected directly and experientially to the whole universe. And I think what you're talking about, these immersive learning environments, take us into a realm that that we haven't been able to imagine until now.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Raz, if you go to our website, whidbygeodome.org, we have testimonials from young and old alike, people who have experienced the Geodome, and it's just heartwarming to read, and we actually have video testimonials as well, because it's very powerful to hear people telling stories in their own words about what the experience means to them. I encourage the listeners to check out the website, whidbygeodome.org, to both find out more about where this project has been and where it's going, and also to check out some of the testimonials. They're very powerful.
That's great. And I just want to tell our listeners that the word WIDBY is WHIDBEY, WIDBY, WHIDBEY, geodome.org. Is that right, Rick?
Correct.
Okay, WIDBYgeodome.org. And great website there, and you'll see a lot. So, again, for our listeners to know, we have in the Bay Area an opportunity to experience this. If you're going to the Bioneers Conference, October 19th to the 21st in San Rafael, the Geodome will be set up. Free admission, not free admission to the Bioneers Conference, but free admission to the Geodome once you're there. And then at the Institute of Noetic Sciences in Petaluma, and just you can Google Institute of Noetic Sciences. That would be Monday. Is that Monday night?
Yes. There's
Monday
limited
night,
space. We only have room for 50 people for this particular event, so it would be good if you want to join us to call and reserve a space.
Okay, that's wonderful. And then we want to remind our guests, of course, that there is the Hoffman Institute informational teleconference tonight at 5 o'clock, which is only in 5 minutes. And you can go onto the Hoffman Institute website. It's just hoffmaninstitute.org, and learn about the phone number to call, and it's a conference call. And if you're interested in the Hoffman Institute, the Hoffman process, if you've heard about it, maybe you have a friend who's done the Hoffman process, this is a wonderful opportunity to learn more. And, Rick, we are so glad to have had you here with us today. It's
my pleasure.
You're spreading some really good news, but the news is only half as good as the experience, so people really got to go have this experience. And Rick, where else in the United States might they find this besides you?
Well, there's couple of dozen geodomes in the United States. There are some school systems that have them, planetariums and science museums in places like Minneapolis and Asheville, North Carolina. Several of the domes are owned by NASA and NOAA because they use them for community education programs where they're, you know, when they're trying to reach out to communities to look at watershed issues or environmental issues. So, you know, I would suggest if you want to know where more about geodomes, the technology itself, the company that makes them, Illuminati, spelled Illuminati, Illuminati.com, is the website where you can discover more about geodomes.
That's fantastic. Well, Rick, we're so glad you were with us today, and thank you so much for making the time in your schedule. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next month and to visiting the geodome and see how much you've progressed.
Great.
Out of your experience up there at the Seattle World's Fair site. It's the 50th anniversary of the – so you had your thing right at the base of the Space Needle, right?
That's right. We were right in the heart of it. It was great. Still is. It's going to be there till we bring it down to California on April 15th. So.
Wonderful. And next week, please tune in if you're listening to our very special guest, Sonia Choquet, and her knowledge about intuition and how to cultivate and develop your own intuitive powers. Until next week, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you again for being a part of the Hoffman Connection. Please join your hosts, Raz and Grossi and Ed McClune, again next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until then, make it an outstanding week.